Greg Marshall. He's pulled off the seemingly impossible. He's written a memoir that is both heartfelt and hilarious. It's called Lake, the story of a limb and the boy who grew from it. The book is an enlightening chronicle about the power of identity. Greg writes frankly about being gay and about dealing with cerebral palsy. His parents told him he just had tight tendons. As Greg writes in Lake, that was just par for the course. He says his mother had her own special way of making life seem much larger than it actually was.
Her approach in my life as kind of a tall tale teller was to go so far in the other direction of not only not acknowledging it, but sort of completely papering over it with this kind of dazzle camouflage of saying, it's a wonderful leg and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And by the way, your dad died of ALS. And so she, you know, I wanted to kind of put her reaction in there because it kind of encapsulates not just her reaction to my disability, but just all of the other issues that were going on with my family. And so it was kind of this whole soup of disability in my family, that it wasn't just my leg and my cerebral palsy, which, you know, wasn't talked about. It was kind of how were all of these other disabilities in my family treated, you know, which ones were valorized and celebrated and which ones were ignored and minimized.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And you do that very well. And it's just amazing all the health issues that struck your family. And I'm sorry that has happened. And I'm sorry for the loss of your father, Bob. It's terrible. But despite that, you've written a memoir that's not only poignant, but is also very funny. And that it's just like, how do you pull that off? Leg is a beautifully written memoir. It's poignant, very funny, and so revealing about your life and your thoughts. It's amazing just how brave you are in making all these confessions that I think a lot of other memoir writers wouldn't make. Was there anything that you didn't include that you decided, no, that's a little too much detail. That's something I'm not willing to share?
There were things that were outside of the scope of disability and queerness, because my mom was adopted into a large Basque family. And so there's a ton of stories and lore in those quarters. But I really wanted to track queerness and disability as sources of intimacy in my family and see how, you know, something like my mom's cancer shaped her as a storyteller, as a survivor, as the hero of her own story, and as a writer, and how those things shaped me as well, and kind of on down the line.
Your parents told you that you had tight tendons, and instead of revealing the truth that you had cerebral palsy, why do you think they did that?
Oh boy, that's sort of the central question of the book. I think that they just didn't want me to live with what they perceived as limitations or with stigma. And I think in some ways they were right. I don't think that they're at all the villains of my story. They're really two of the heroes of my story. But it's more about kind of a system-wide, society-wide perception of how we reckon with our bodies and how we find our own places in the world in spite of our differences. And so I don't think that they were necessarily wrong to not tell me, you know, point blank that I have cerebral palsy. I sure wish now that I'd known earlier so that I could have been just in command of my own body and had all of the facts. And then I could have been the hero of my own story in the way that my mom was the hero of her own story with cancer and writing her column.
Mm. Yeah, very well said. I think, though, I would go so far as to say I think that you are the hero. I think your mother and father are heroes, too, obviously. Such great parents, but in so many ways. But I think the fact that you were brave enough to write this memoir and to write it so well that it's, you know, funny and poignant, I think you've proven that you're the hero of your own story. So how did you discover that you had cerebral palsy?
So I was applying for private health insurance in 2014 for the first time in my life. I'd come out of grad school and my insurance application was flagged. I'd grown up having surgery on my hamstrings and Achilles tendon and physical therapy. So a lot of the trappings of cerebral palsy, a lot of the treatments of someone who has cerebral palsy. And so whoever was looking at my insurance application saw those things and just asked me, hey, so what is the source of your traumatic brain injury? And I was so taken aback. I was like, what traumatic brain injury are you talking about? And so at that point, I pulled my medical records from Primary Children's, and sure enough, there on every single page, it had sentences like, to whom it may concern, Greg Marshall has spastic cerebral palsy related to prematurity. After I read those medical records, I gave my mom a call, and part of me was sort of expecting her to be like, oh my gosh, well, you always knew that you had cerebral palsy. I mean, what are you, why is this a surprise? But her reaction was very much the other direction, where she just kind of was in this panic about it. But I think it really clued me into the magnitude of that lie of omission or that fib, that it kind of really was this big deal. And her reaction, as much as anything else, made me want to go back into my childhood and re-examine what had happened. I mean, so many of the, what I perceived as kind of these funny coming of age stories had this deeper side to them.
Mm-hmm. So did this discovery, did that kind of ruin, or did it have a negative impact on your relationship with your parents going forward after you discovered that you had cerebral palsy?
You know, I think that there was a little bit of like teenage indignity on my part. And mm-hmm. I definitely don't want to gloss over the part where I was just kind of pissed off and I felt like I'd been hung out to dry. There'd been so much of my life that I'd navigated, like, you know, being a journalist at a newspaper in Park City, Utah, and not having all of the tools at my disposal that I might have otherwise. If I'd been able to walk into that newsroom and said, hey, you know, I need a headset for interviews because I have cerebral palsy and it kind of affects one side of my body. And I'm still a great reporter and I'm still a great writer, but maybe I need a little bit of, you know, an extension on a deadline, or maybe we can tweak the production calendar. You know, just little accommodations like that that I could have made for myself. But overall, I would just say that it was such a relief to have the diagnosis. And once I was in possession of that, I felt like I had the distance I needed to write my own story. And so I think by writing my story kind of fresh off the heels of learning about my diagnosis, I very quickly became empowered. I mean, I think I kind of became the quote hero of my story a little bit more in a way that made me less upset with my parents. And, you know, I think that it ultimately really over the years has led to so many deep and profound conversations with people in my family. And I don't know that we would have had those conversations otherwise. I think sometimes out of politeness or decorum, even with people we love a lot, we kind of leave out the topic sentence, or we, you know, we don't want to go there in a way that we feel like is going to put someone on the spot or hurt someone or make them upset with you. And I think once the top was blown off on the kind of cerebral palsy diagnosis, we were just able to go there more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Your mother was still battling cancer when your father, Bob, discovered a twitch in his shoulder while he was training for the Boston Marathon. And that, what did that turn out to be?
That twitch in his shoulder was a fasciculation, which is a muscle twitch that's an early symptom of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. So basically, it was the indication that he had a terminal diagnosis and that, you know, he was facing a neuromuscular condition that would essentially kill or diminish nearly every muscle in his body. His ALS was unfortunately really aggressive, and he went on a feeding tube that summer, and he was on a BiPAP for a few months and then went on a respirator and lasted about a year. I write in the book, there was this moment where before my dad was on a respirator, when we drove up one of the canyons near our house in Salt Lake City, and my dad and I kind of awkwardly sit on these rocks, and he just says, you know, I'm starting to understand a little bit more about your leg. It just never really goes away, does it? That was kind of a launching point where we started to talk more intimately about our bodies. Those conversations that I had with my dad were the first times where I did directly use the word disabled. I didn't at that time know that I had cerebral palsy, but I would ask him things like, well, do you think of yourself as disabled? Do you have ALS in your dreams? I think we were able to just relate to each other on a really deep, meaningful level. And I think to see someone like my dad, who'd always been my caretaker, who'd always been so able and active and, a skier and a runner, to see that you kind of both are and aren't your body, and that there are parts of you that really do transcend your, quote, physical limitations, but also that a disability is a profound part of your identity, and that it's okay to talk about it and okay to reckon with it and okay to have, you know, feelings about it, so that hopefully you can get to a place of joy and acceptance and celebration of those things.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you got that as you and your father were able to see each other's bodies in new ways, which is great. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the central idea that you're conveying in Leg in a way, isn't it? Seeing ourselves in new ways?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, seeing ourselves in just our totality. Like, I wanted a book that wasn't so really academic or really dry or really poetic. I think sometimes when people write about their bodies, there's this desire to make it really highfalutin. What I wanted to do was just show myself and my family as we actually are. You asked earlier a little bit about my family's reaction, and one of the reactions from my brother that I just loved was, you know, he praised the book and really liked it. And he said, you know, I mean, the thing is, it's just really honest. And he kind of said it as a little bit of like, well, you know, the family's not going to just love this because it's like really honest. But I sort of took that as a compliment, like a mark of authenticity.
Yeah, you have this great quote that you think the central idea of your book is looking at queerness and disability as sources of intimacy and unity rather than sources of tension and division. And I think you've achieved that, and that's a major accomplishment.
Thanks. Yeah. It's not like you write a book and the consciousness level of your entire family or your entire society sort of like raises. To me, it was about making those connections of, I'm gay, I came out. Years later, you know, my mom, after my dad passed away, my mom started checking up with, you know, one of her former doctors, Alice, who really kind of became the second love of her life. And they've been together all these years, and they look out for each other, and they have a very funny, loving, queer relationship. And I mean, not to center myself too much in that experience, but I don't know if my Coldwater Creek loving suburban mom, who'd grown up Catholic among Mormons, would have taken the leap onto the wild side and been open to being with a woman for the last 15 years if it weren't for having a gay son. And so I just saw little connections. I think sometimes when we talk about disability, there's like a little bit of the stage goes dark and it's just a spotlight on like the disability, which I guess is literally what I'm doing with my book, calling it Leg and, you know, kind of that wink and nudge, but also just that we don't have disabilities or any part of the human experience in isolation. You know, we're kind of part of the fabric of our family. You don't just like have a disability and sit in your room. You are out there in the world, you know, among other people, having interactions, and they're having their own stuff going on. We fit our bodies into our families, and our families kind of shape our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Very well said, yeah. Would you mind reading the dedication?
Oh, yeah. To Dad, who said I could do it. To Mom, who drove me to it.
That's great. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it, I think? Greg Marshall, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on Leg, the story of a limb and the boy who grew from it. It's an incredible memoir. I'm looking forward to reading your next book.
Oh, thank you so much, Doug. I really appreciate it.
Greg Marshall is the author of Leg, the story of a limb and the boy who grew from it. Find out more about Greg and his book at wpr.org/beta.
I would push a poem out probably before it was ready. You can't do that really with a novel. You have to cultivate a different relationship to it.
Coming up, Ben Perker talks about using his advertising experience to create his debut novel about a cocky copywriter and toxic masculinity. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.